Good morning. We have a few new faces here, so I suppose I should tell you who I am. I'm not one of your teachers, but I used to teach here. David Lau is my name, and I'm given the privilege of coming here once a month and taking you through an Old Testament book. For the last few years, we've been going through the book of 2 Chronicles. Now, the book of 2 Chronicles begins with the reign of King Solomon, David's son, and continues on until the children of Israel were carried off into captivity to Babylon. Now, throughout this period, we have to remember that God had given a promise to King David that his dynasty and his kingdom would continue. In fact, it would continue forever until finally the great son of David, the Messiah, would come as a savior for his people. And this promise was passed down from father to son to grandson and so forth all the way through the years. Now, after Solomon died, the kingdom was divided into two parts. The north is called the kingdom of Israel, and the south is called the kingdom of Judah. The kingdom of Judah was the kingdom where the sons of David ruled, and the temple was there at Jerusalem, the place that God had chosen for his people to worship. Now, some of the kings of Judah were God-fearing kings who believed in the promise of the Messiah and did good things for their people. But some of the kings were not so good. And today we're going to begin with one of the worst of the kings of Judah. His name was Ahaz. And we don't want to confuse him with another wicked king with a similar name, Ahab. You're probably more familiar with Ahab and his wife Jezebel that introduced Baal worship into the northern kingdom of Israel. Well, he had been king before this time. But now we're in the south, in the kingdom of Judah, and Ahaz is the king. The Bible says Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord as his father David had done. What were his sins? He made molded images for the Baals. You remember that Baal was the idol that was worshipped by Ahab and Jezebel up in the north. He burned children in the fire. That was in connection with the worship of a false god. He sacrificed and burned incense on the high places, on the hills, and under every green tree. Now, all of this false worship was contrary to the very first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods." And besides that, God wanted his people to bring their sacrifices to only one place, and that was Solomon's temple in Jerusalem. Now the question is, what is God going to do about this flagrant idolatry? Well, I suppose the worst punishment that God could inflict on them was to ignore it and to just let them go on in their ways and finally go to their eternal damnation, which of course is what happens to people who do not worship the true God but worship idols. But you see, God had love for his people, and so he brought preliminary judgments on them to cause them to recognize their sins, to bring them to repentance, to arouse them from their lethargy. And so in this case, when King Ahaz and the people were committing such flagrant idolatry, God brought some really terrible judgments on the people. Hard even to imagine. He had two enemy nations come against Ahaz and his people. The one was Syria. Well, Syria is still in the news today. Civil war going on there now. Refugees flowing out of the country. Well, it's the same land the same headquarters, Damascus, and the other nation that came against Ahaz was the northern kingdom of Israel and its king Pekah. Now these are the things that happened. First of all, the king of Syria. The Bible says they, that is the king of Syria, defeated him and carried away a great multitude of them as captives and brought them to Damascus. That's the first judgment. Second was even worse. Pekah, the king of Israel, attacked Ahaz. The Bible says the king of Israel defeated him with a great slaughter. For Pekah killed 120,000 in one day, all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. Three of Ahaz's chief officers were killed, including his own son. And that's not all. The children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons and daughters, and they also took much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. Well, you know, in our country, one of the greatest disasters took place in 2001, or at least the most recent one. About 3,000 were killed in the Twin Towers tragedy. That was a great judgment, 3,000. But now think of 120,000 valiant men being killed in one day. Besides that, 200,000 men, women, and children carried off into captivity. It's hard even to imagine such a thing. And why did it happen? Well, the Bible makes it very clear. After telling us about the idolatry of Ahaz and his people, the Bible says, Therefore, the Lord, his God, delivered him into the king of Syria. And when we are told of the death of the 120,000, the Bible says this was because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So there can be no doubt about it. These astounding losses in manpower and this captivity, these things happened to them as a consequence of their idolatry. God's judgment on them to bring them to repentance. And we can imagine the believers in the land of Judah crying out to God in their distress and pleading with him to let them go, confessing their sins freely and putting their trust in God's promises to his people. But King Ahaz did not follow through on that. The Bible does not say that King Ahaz ever repented. All of these things should have brought him to his knees, but they did not. Now, of course, whenever we read something like this in the Bible, we have to consider what this means for us today. Now, we have a country too. Our country is not a theocracy like theirs was, where everybody is supposed to be God's people, and they all worship the same God. We know that's not the case. But still, God has his people in this country. And when we think about the sins of the citizens of our country, well, they burned their children in the fire, and we've got millions of human lives being taken every year through legal abortion. Don't you think that sin goes up to heaven and cries out for judgment? And then, of course, if we think of ourselves as Christians and wonder how Christians are behaving in this land of ours, well, we know that so many of those calling themselves Christians have gone astray from the ways of the Lord. And we ourselves are always in danger of doing the same thing. And of course, God could find many faults with us as a Christian people. And why then do judgments come from the Lord? because he loves us. He has not abandoned us. And so he sends these things, and every one of them, every problem, disaster, crisis, tragedy in our land and in the world is designed by God to call his people, and in fact, even the unbelievers, to repentance, so that they might turn to Jesus, the one and only Savior of all people. Now the hymn that we're going to sing is a hymn we can imagine the people of Judah singing in their distress. We can sing it today. It is hymn 615, the first three stanzas.